About 6 weeks ago, Chuck Swindoll introduced a classic series on Insight for Living. The title of each message starts with two words, what if? Along the way, we've addressed relevant questions like, what if a longtime friend deceives you? And what if you need a second chance? Today, however, Chuck poses the most sobering question of all. He'll be talking about our eternal destiny, and it's perfectly fitting to conclude our series on this topic, the most important matter in all of life. Chuck Swindoll titled today's sermon, What If You Were to Die Tonight?
God's Word is alive and it's active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It alone is able to penetrate, to pierce through to the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is able to discern. The Greek word is kritikos. Get our word critic from it. It is a critic of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No other literature like this. You can take a slice of any part of the Word of God, give it to someone, and if enough time is spent reading it, thinking it through, and applying it, it can be life-changing. That is not said of any other book ever in existence. This book alone is alive and active. Along with that, it is God-breathed. It is, in that sense, inerrant in the original manuscripts, free of error. So we can read it with confidence. And as we do so today, we'll be turning to Luke chapter 16. Please find the passage, the third of the four Gospels in the New Testament, 16th chapter. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, verse 19 down to the end of the chapter. You may wish to follow along, or you may wish simply to listen, but please, with one another, out of respect for the Word of God, may we stand together for the reading. Luke 16, beginning at verse 19. Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen, and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead." Your Bible probably reads the Greek word Hades. It went to Hades. "There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, 'Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames.' But Abraham said to him, 'Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there.' Then the rich man said, 'Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment. But Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote. The rich man replied, No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God. But Abraham said, If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called, What If You Were to Die Tonight?
There is something eerie about death and dying. Perhaps a kinder word would be mysterious or even intriguing. If you're ever in the same room, you can't help but wonder where that person has gone who has died there in front of you. A moment ago, you were talking, and perhaps they were responding, but no longer is there movement or breath, and everything seems to change. Now lifeless and still, they even look different. I was there shortly after my mother died. She died suddenly while taking a nap, actually, on an afternoon. Even though in fairly good health, totally unexpected, I was called, my father called, I raced over there, and there she was on the couch, or at least her body was there. My sister was there, and we stood, and we looked at her, and though we had known her all of our life, obviously she looked differently than she had ever looked before. She was dead. It seemed strange. It happened again 9 years later when my father died. He had lived with us about 4 years and had fallen ill through a series of difficulties health-wise. And though we had an excellent physician to care for him, very competent, no one knew that that night he would die. Got a call. Cynthia and I were there within minutes, and I looked at him, and as with my mother, he was obviously gone. I kissed him, and I told him for the last time, I love you, and I took the sheet, and I covered his face, and realized that for the first time in my life, even though I was myself a husband and a father and on my way to what you would call middle age, I realized I was orphaned for the first time. It's a different feeling, especially when you see these whom you have known throughout your years and they're gone. As competent and excellent as my father's physician was, there was no way he could have told us the day before, your dad will die tonight. And I wondered, what is he experiencing right now? Nothing here on earth but a corpse, put bluntly, but life goes on. Death is simply a change from life on earth to life beyond. Isn't it interesting when hearing words like this, words regarding another's death, we're able to remain fairly objective and emotionally uninvolved. After all, it was my dad, it wasn't yours. It was my mother, not yours. It was our family, not yours. But what is intriguing in all of this is we push aside most thoughts of our own death. We're good at that. This is someone else's death. The funeral we attended, that's someone else's funeral. Rather than realizing that we, being human, will one day be there. Euripides, the Greek playwright, put it this way: death is the debt we all must pay. John Donne lived 1573 to 1631. He was the dean at St. Paul's Cathedral during a dark era in England's history. The Black Plague had come, ultimately took the lives of one-third of the citizens of London, if you can imagine. It was in the heart of that city he ministered. I don't know how many thousands of funerals he must have conducted. And one day he noticed on his own skin spots that frightened him when he realized these were the marks of the plague. He too had the disease. Doctors gave him little time. So for 6 weeks, he lay at death's door, listening to the bell tolling out its doleful declaration of death. One after another, the bells tolled. During that time, John Donne wrote his immortal piece titled Devotions. In it, these familiar words appear: no man is an island. Entire of itself, every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. It tolls for thee. He must have heard the tolling of the bells with their doleful sound outside his window as he lay on his own deathbed when he wrote that. What if the bell tolled for you tonight? Tonight. Tolerate the thought. What about life beyond? Don't you wonder? Haven't you thought, when you buried your mother or your father or son or daughter, didn't you think, what are they doing? Where did they go? The lifeless body is there, but you know there is a spirit, a soul that, well, death is a separation where the invisible separates from the visible. Stay with me. You'll need to concentrate. This isn't an entertaining talk. You must think. At death, there's a separation. The soul spirit within us that gives us our personality, our emotion, our responses, that part of us that makes us who we are as people, that's separated from what is tangible, the flesh and blood, the muscle and bone and nerves, our bodies. So the lifeless body of my mother or my father lay in front of me, but they didn't even look like the one I had known all my life. the spirit had left. Where did it go? What is it doing? To understand this, I have put together my own chart that I hope will be helpful, where I ask, when people die, what happens? When you look at a horizontal chart, you read it from left to right, from top to bottom. So we start from the far left at creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was no matter before God created matter. There was no time before God began time. In the process of creation, God made a man, Adam, and a woman, Eve. He gave them to each other with a warning: of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. Hear the warning. For in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. First time death is mentioned. Connected with sin. They're always Siamese twins. They go together. As Scripture teaches, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Each person is destined to die once. There is no reincarnation. Scripture does not teach that. So, when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, not only did sin enter and remain, death as well became a part of their existence. Had they never sinned, they would never have died. But with sin came death. Two verses come to mind. One is in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. The New Living says each person is destined to die once. The other verse of Scripture is worth remembering. It is Romans 5, 12. Listen to it. Through one man, sin entered into the world. That would be Adam. And death through sin. And so death passed upon all mankind, for all have sinned. The New Living Translation renders this: when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone has sinned. You're born. Your parents were sinful. Their parents were sinful. You have the nature. You too are sinful. And I the same. It's because when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for every one of us sins. So there's no escape. Whatever you may believe regarding religion, you must have room in your theology for death. And you must think it through. Hence the chart that I hope will help. Now then, how do we think this through? You need to concentrate. How often I've said that through this year. Today, I mean it maybe more than ever. You must not let your mind wander. We are made up of that which is tangible, that which we can touch, called the body, and the intangible, that which is invisible, called the soul, in some places the spirit. Rather than trying to differentiate, I just call it the soul spirit. At death, there is a separation. Track this carefully. Remember, I mentioned the body, which is the tangible part. That is what we bury. We place the body in a casket, or the body is cremated, or perhaps in an explosion, it is blown apart. in some tragic death. No matter, the body is the part that remains earthbound. Normally, it is placed in a casket and it is then put in a grave covered with dirt. Illustrated on the chart, and you will notice immediately there is a difference between a believer and an unbeliever, which tells us what? That life on planet Earth includes occasions for you to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You believe it, you are a believer. You reject it, you are an unbeliever. You die in your unbelief, your destiny is different than the destiny of the believer. Your body, like an unbeliever's body, will go to a grave, but your soul, spirit, will have a different destination. Look and think closely and deeply. See the chart below the words life on planet Earth? At the time of the death of my mother, my dad, there was a soul spirit that left. At the time of some unbeliever who died the same day, there was a soul spirit that left the body. The unbeliever's soul and spirit are placed in torment. The believer's spirit, soul, in the days of the Old Testament, notice, before the ascension of Christ, is placed in paradise. Both are in Hades. Hades is a Greek word that answers to the Hebrew word Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. Same place, different words. Unger's Bible Dictionary defines Hades as follows. I quote, "The subterranean abode of all the dead until the judgment, divided into two compartments, paradise or Abraham's bosom for the believers, and Gehenna, hell or torment for the unbelievers." So look at the chart. If you and I lived in the days of the Old Testament, or our parents lived then, the soul and spirit of the believer would be in paradise. Remember the words of Jesus to the thief on the cross who believed, "Today you will be with me," where? In paradise. That's what he had in mind. They are held there for an intermediate period of time. There will be a conscious final judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. And then there will be the ultimate second death or eternal punishment for those who died without Christ, without faith.
You're listening to Insight for Living. And a pressing question from Chuck Swindoll. He titled his message, "What If You Were to Die Tonight?" To purchase the CDs or find downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org/store. Well, we just have a moment remaining in today's program, and it's important to bring to your attention the letter from Chuck that likely arrived in your home in the last week or two. In just a few pages, he expressed his deep concern for the erosion in many of today's churches. Too many congregations have allowed cultural influences to creep in and have opted for worship services that garner an audience but fail to teach the truth. He has written an important book called The Church Awakening, and this is for anyone who cares about the church, whether you're an attendee, a volunteer who teaches a class, or on staff as one of the pastors. Written in the refreshing style you've come to expect from Chuck, The Church Awakening opens up a whole new understanding of God's best for you. In addition, Chuck has a way of putting his finger on the reasons you might feel unsatisfied when either the preaching, the activities, or the worship falls short of God's ideal. When you give a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living, you're invited to request a copy of The Church Awakening. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. or go to insight.org. Let me affirm that when you make an investment in Insight for Living, you're opening the doors to church leaders and volunteers to gain a whole new respect for their vital role. We often hear from pastors, elders, deacons, and Sunday school teachers who thank us for providing clear instruction. So thanks for giving a donation today. And as you do, be sure to request a copy of The Church Awakening. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org.
Step onto the ancient theatrical stage where biblical history was written. Experience The Land and the Book with Chuck Swindoll, March 4th through the 15th, 2018.
Feel the cool breezes sweep across the Sea of Galilee. Walk along the banks of the Jordan. Take time to pause and reflect. Picture Jesus being baptized in this very river.
Tours leave for Israel every day. You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour where you benefit from Chuck Swindoll's insight.
This isn't a mere fact-finding trip. Insight for Living makes every effort to save time for your journey to be filled with adventure and yet punctuated with laughter and seasoned with spiritual moments you'll treasure for the rest of your life.
Call 888-447-0444.
You know, you'll never read your Bible the same way. Come with Cynthia and me to the land of Israel.
The dates are March 4th through the 15th, 2018. Call 888-447-0444 or visit us online at insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll continues to probe the question, what if you were to die tonight? Listen Thursday to Insight for Living.
The preceding message, What If You Were to Die Tonight, was copyrighted in 2013, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.